This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Morning, church. How are you today? You recovered? You get too much candy from the parade yesterday? You're all in diabetic shock, and I get that. So we're glad you're here today. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Tim Doyle, lead pastor here. We've had a weekend, just boatload, drinking from the fire hose. It's been amazing. Yesterday, we recapped it with Apostle Joanne Swallow. Everybody remember Joanne Swallow, right? Yeah. She and Apostle Jay were the first two to pray in this building. And the things that they spoke over this ministry were just unreal. I won't say unbelievable because I believe them. But it was just wow. And Joanne was back with us yesterday. And do you remember last fall when the ladies from Kansas City brought us their little golden Vav? Remember that? The stake that had "Now is the time" written on it? Well, I've been waiting on how to release that word to our church. Been waiting for that. And yesterday was the time. So after our seminar was done, we gathered in the East Lobby there. And I want you to see some pictures of what took place. Brought my sledgehammer in, and we took the Vav, and there's Ray. Look at that handsome man right there. Look at that. Look at that visage, that Puerto Rican nose. Look at that. And there, look at that Irish profile there. There's the Irishman. But there we are gathering in the big room, and there's Apostle Joanne, some of the ladies that came with her, and we took our Vav, which represents really, and we said the Vav at the time, you know, we talked about it, how it's a connection between heaven and earth. And how it represents expanding our tent pegs and stretching those tent pegs out. And we believe we're on the verge of an expansion at Restoration. So I got my prayer shawl out. I got the Vav out. We stuck it in the floor with my sledgehammer. And Apostle Joanne, she brought the word, man. She, as one who has authority in land issues, we knew that it was the right time. It was a Kairos moment for her to participate with us. And we hammered that Vav into the floor, into the big room, saying, "Now is the time. Our destiny is upon us. God is releasing us to the future and just the opportunity he's gotten for us to present Jesus on a larger platform to our city." And I got to tell you something. That floor is hard, okay? That is old wood. I just want you to know that. And there was already a starter hole that the little Vav sat in on top of. You can see that. And so I had Apostle Joanne give it a couple taps, and that was awesome. But it still was sticking up. It hardly went down. It was still pretty firm. So Krista and I got down there, and I thought, okay, I'll give it a couple of taps. I'll let Randy give it a couple of taps and Matt give it a couple of taps, and we'll have Ray drive it home, right? Well, when we tapped that Vav into the ground, I'm telling you, something ridiculous happened. And that thing, like, it sucked into the floor. I mean, we barely touched it. And Chris and I both looked at each other like, "Did you feel that?" It's like, yeah. It's like it was like Thor's hammer, Ray said this morning. Was it Ray? No, it was Kip. Said Thor's hammer. That's right. Thor's hammer hit that Vav into the ground. And we drove a tent stake into the future of Restoration's ministry in this city. And it's there now. It's like it's established and it's done. And I just can't wait to see what is going to happen next. And that's what we want to talk to you about on the 21st. So that's all my stuff I got to unpack for you this morning. We've had such an amazing, wonderful weekend with the friends from the Impact Center in Lawton, Oklahoma. Not their first time to be with us. This is about the third time. And we're family now. And we love each other, and we love what God is doing in our respective cities, and God is cross-pollinating us, the strength of what is happening in both of our towns. You know, how many of you know that we're better together? We're just better together, and the Lord is connecting us supernaturally with these different, tribes around the nation and around the world, and it's just an amazing thing what God is up to. If you're here from the Impact Center, would you stand to your feet so we can recognize you and welcome you to the house today? Let's give him a big hand. Glad to have you here. Awesome. And church, would you stand to your feet and welcome the man of God to the platform again, Pastor Ray Garcia.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. I guess we need a worship team to come play a little bit louder. I think they started snoring again. You know, it's awesome to be here. Pastor Rochelle and I, we call this home. This is our home away from home, and it's such a blessing to be a part of what God's doing here. It really is. And I shared with Pastor Tim that what I seen, the Volvo that they drove, I just call it a steak. I don't know if it's ribeye or what, but it was a gold steak, and Chuck Pierce gave a steak to Benny Hinn, and he told Benny Hinn that as they drove that steak, it was literally severing the past and launching into the future. And that's what I sensed when we were upstairs has happened with Restoration Church. Hallelujah. I'm really excited. You know, when I heard Matt quote that scripture and then Pastor Tim quote his scripture, me, I like he said, he talked about that I'm hood. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. So, yes, I'm hood, but I'm a godly hood.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to, I'm going to read what Pastor Tim read, but I'm going to read it out of the Message. I don't know. Thank God for technology. You pull all of it out.
That's right.
And I'm going to read it because I like to break things down. I like to simplify things. Amen? Yeah. If it's not for you, it's for me. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Version, in the Message Translation, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, are you tired? Is anybody tired? Come on, can we be 100? That's being transparent. Okay, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. See, it's not so much your life, but it's your life in Jesus. Hallelujah. Can y'all get excited a little bit this morning? We might need another double dose of that coffee you got out there. And it says, recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Your rest is in Him. It's not in Pastor Pillow with Bishop Sheets. The rest is in Jesus, that He's got everything under control if you let Him. How many of you heard growing up in church that Jesus is in control? Raise your hand. Guess what? He's not in control. He's not in control. Because then why do we have all the issues, cares, and concerns of life if He was in control? The reality is we have to give Him control. We have to say, truly, I surrender all, but then it become a lifestyle of surrendering all.
Yeah.
Amen? So that's the only way He'll truly have control. He says this. He says, walk with me and work with me. So while you're resting, you're still working. Oh, y'all should have got that one. That was a good one. You must work as you walk and as you rest in the Lord. Then He says, work with me. Watch how I do it. So see, it's not how you want to do it, because since you surrendered and you gave Him control is how He does it. Amen. And I'm going to take you to one of my favorite scriptures. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything on you that's heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. See, it's in Jesus that we get all of this. It's not in your husband, it's not in your wife, it's not in your job, but it's in Jesus. When you totally surrender to Him and you totally give your life to Him and you begin to carry and embrace His identity and you understand that your identity is in Him and His identity is in you and the deity of God lives inside of you, that's where there's rest. Outside of that, there is no rest. There is no peace. Because you're still trying to do it on your own merit. You're still trying to do it yourself. And then all of a sudden, what you're really, really saying is, God, I'm taking you off the throne, and I'm going to sit on the throne because I can do it better than you. Well, I don't ever do that, Ray. Really? The last decision that you made, did you ask God first? Turn with me to Matthew. Ooh, glory to God. What is it, Crystal? Matthew 6:33. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 6:33. And here's what I'm going to read to you. Faith in God means faith in His timing. Before Pastor Tim said anything about timing, on my way here, the Lord said, you need to preach your message on timing. So see, that's what happens when you listen to God, and then not just listen, but you do what God wants you to do, He sets it up. So this is a Kairos moment for Restoration Church. And here's the thing, you need to see yourself as a restorer of the brothers. You need to see that. At the Impact Center, we call ourselves impactors. Why? Because we are called to impact people's lives. You're called to restore lives. Lives that have been broken. Like Pastor Tim, who was going to go, simply went to Mickey D's. Y'all might call it McDonald's. That's hood talk. We go to Mickey D's to get his orange juice, and all of a sudden, he restored a young lady back to the Lord. That's what it's about. But it's not only the pastor's responsibility to do that. It's all of our responsibility to restore those that are broken, lost, and away from God. Amen? Whether they've served God at one point in time or not, it's your responsibility as kingdom folks to restore people back to Him, because He longs to have a relationship with His creation. Amen? All right. Let's read it out of the Amplified Version. And it says, but first and most importantly, aim at, strive after His kingdom. And y'all can keep reading the rest, but I'm going to stop right there because I like to break it down. It's Him. It's seeking Him. If He says that He knows every hair that's on your head, whether you have some or don't, at one point in time you had some, we should get to know Him at that same level. If not, be living a life to learn about God, to understand God. Why did He do what He did? Why did He create me? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? God, You said that You put everything that You are inside of me. Like Matt said, You have the power of death and life in Your tongue. And that's why He taught that to His little girl, because she had to begin to declare something that would change the atmosphere whenever she was laying down. You have that power. How many of you say, oh, I just feel like my feet are killing me? How can your feet be killing you? But we don't understand that there's life and death in what we say. Don't go around saying, I'm sorry no more. If you say to my around me, I'm going to tell you, yeah, you are sorry. You're speaking it. I'm just coming into agreement. You're not sorry. Why? Because you're created in the image of the one that created everything. So God is not sorry, so I don't have a right to call myself sorry, because then I'm telling God, you're sorry. See, that's based out of a relationship with God and not just knowing God. If you just have head knowledge of God, you're no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's right. Because that's all they had. If they would have had a relationship with God and had revelation, they would have known, whoa, dude, He's right here. That's right. He's standing right before me. Man, Lord, dude, God, my bad. I didn't even recognize You. Why? Because they didn't have a relationship. All they had is head knowledge. See, when you understand that it's about a relationship, Jesus didn't come to save you from hell because hell wasn't created for you. Right. It was created for Satan and the angels that fell with him. Jesus came because God had a longing to have a desire with His creation, which is you and me, and which is everybody else that's out there lost and dying. And if we don't help them and we don't restore them and we don't bring them in and we don't love them, they will go to hell. But that's not the destiny that God intended for them. Amen? Let's keep going. So it's basically the first thing we must do, and most importantly, is seek God. Seek his face. Seek his presence in everything you do. When you get up, don't let the first thing come out of your mouth, "I'm tired," because it sets the atmosphere for the rest of your day. Wake up and say, "I am a child of the Most High God. And the devil did not defeat me last night. And I have a purpose and a plan. And I'm going to fulfill what Daddy wants me to do." So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take time out this morning. "Yo, Dad." And I know maybe y'all don't talk to him like this, but I do. "Yo, Daddy, what you got for me today? Who do you want me to impact? Show me who you want me to impact, because that's what I want to do. If I don't do nothing else today, Daddy, I want to do what you tell me to do." Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Then he says, "His kingdom and his righteousness." That means, okay, Daddy, how am I going to do this? Daddy, how do you want me to impact lives? I'm seeking your wisdom. I'm seeking your understanding. I'm seeking your revelation. How do you want me to do it? And I promise you, when you live that lifestyle, he will do it. And that's where he says, goes on to say, "You seek his ways of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God." Do people see the character of God in you in everything you do? When you're at work, at home, when you're with your wife or your husband or your girlfriend, and are you demonstrating the character of God? It's going to be extremely difficult if you haven't done the first part of seeking him. Yeah. Because you don't know his character. You don't have a relationship. I can tell you when my wife needs something without her saying anything to me. Why? Because we have a relationship. Because I've learned her. I've learned her ways. I understand her ways. She moves. She does something. I already know instantly what does she need. Why? Because we have a relationship. Yeah. And you might say, "Well, yo, dude, that's only because you're married." No. Crystal, spiritual daughter of us, of ours that we've adopted, guess what? She knows every point in time when I need something. Why? Because she has an established relationship with me. She's not my blood daughter, but she's a spiritual daughter. So she understands, okay, what does Poppy need? What does Pastor Ray need? And she knows instantly how to move. Same thing with Vivian. Same thing with Pastor Jim and Tina. Why? Because there's a relationship that has been established. When you establish a relationship with God and get out of the place of just having the head knowledge of God, you will know exactly what to do. And you'll do it correctly, and then you won't have to come back to God and say, "Hey, Daddy, I messed up. Can you fix this?" You won't put him on that spot. Why? Because you first sought him out, you did it his way, and then it says, this is the awesome part of it, "And all these things will be given to you also." How many of y'all want all these things? Okay, if y'all, those that didn't raise your hand, I'll take yours. I don't have a problem taking yours. But he says, if you seek him first, if you do things his way, then everything will be added. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. That means you get to embrace everything that he has prepared for you so that you can live a life of abundance. And I'm not just talking about money. Don't get it twisted. I'm not just talking, oh, your finances, your pocketbook will be loaded. I'm talking about you'll have healthy relationships. Your social realm of your life will be healthy. You'll know how to be a friend. See, many of you want friends, but you don't know how to be a friend. Well, why don't you tap into God, who's the best friend of all, so that he can teach you how to be a friend? And when someone hurts you because of the relationship you have with God, you're secure in the things of God, you won't get all offended. You won't get mad. Amen? Hallelujah. Is anybody excited in this place? Yeah. Hallelujah. I know I am. Psalms 37 and 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he will do it. How many of y'all need something from God? Let me see. All of a sudden, we all need something from God. Because the reality is, if you don't need something from God, then stop breathing. Because it's because the very essence of God is why you're breathing. So we need breath. We need the air. Amen?
Yeah.
We need clothes.
Yeah.
I know I need clothes, glory to God. We need things from God. But here's the reality. It says you got to trust him first. You got to believe in him first. You got to do it his way. And, well, God, can I not just do this the way I want to? No. Not when you say, because most of you, I pray, are saved in this place. If not, we'll make that happen. I promise you. But here's the reality. When you come to Christ, most of you have heard these two words, to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? Okay, some didn't, so we got to do salvation after this. Praise the Lord. Here's the reality. You did. You confessed it with your mouth that he's the Lord over your life. Let me tell you what Lord is. That means he tells you what to do.
That's right.
Well, you don't understand. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Then it causes me to question your relationship with God. Because that means he's your master. That means he's your ruler. That means he's your boss. And he tells you whether you go or whether you stay, whether you breathe, whether you don't breathe. It's because of him. But if we don't trust him enough, then we stay in our mess and we're wondering why, and we're calling the pastor and we're calling the leaders and we're calling this person and we're doing this and we're doing that because you didn't seek him out first. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. We will never understand his wisdom, but we simply have to trust him. I don't understand why he does everything. I really don't. My two daughters, Karina, Pastor Karina, praise the Lord. Y'all pray for her. She's running the whole church by herself. Woo, glory. Son, Lord, I thank you that I'll have the impact center when I get back. And there'll be somebody there. She's like her daddy, I'm here to tell you. She's beautiful like her mama, but she's a Hulk smash like her daddy. So y'all just keep us in prayer. But I forgot where I was going, Crystal. Praise the Lord. Pastor Rochelle, where was I going? I don't know where I was going. But we have to get to that place of trusting God. I know y'all probably never heard Pastor Tim said, well, I forgot where I was going. Hey, I'm 100. I'll tell you, I don't know where I'm going. If I forget, I forget. Holy Spirit's job is to bring it back. Amen? So we have to understand. Oh, here it is. See, I told you, Holy Ghost. I don't understand everything God does. My daughter and my daughter Crystal think I know everything. I'm like, look, I don't know everything. Yes, you do. And then before you know it, I give them the answer to what they were wanting. But you know why I'm able to do that? Because I tap in to the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's supposed to give me the answers. It's not my answer. It's not my wisdom. My wisdom almost put me in prison. But because I tapped into God and I begin to seek the face of God and I begin to have a relationship with God, now I tap into his wisdom so I don't jack things up as often. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his wisdom. Oh my God, Pastor Tim, you had somebody who was going to go to prison preaching? God will use anything he wants. When you surrender and you submit to God, he'll use you. He wants to use you. Your mess is his best message. Your test is a glory of his testimony. But you got to be willing to open your mouth. Well, I'm scared. Well, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. I love that part about power. It's something about power. It's something about having the authority to be able to declare the word, and that when I show up into a place, the atmosphere has to change. Yes. I just heard what somebody thought. He's really conceited. He's arrogant. No, don't get it twisted. I'm just convinced in who I am in God. It ain't my fault you ain't got that revelation, but I'm going to help you today. If you let me, I'll help you. I understand that there is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. So you mean you don't have issues? No, there's still a devil. But it's just a challenge because I understand that greater is he who lives inside of me than he who is in the world. I have the authority. The devil don't until I give it to him. And ain't nobody got time to give him authority. It's mine. Hallelujah. And if you want mine, you're in for a battle. I'm going to let you know that right now. Because I have legions of angels that are warriors. I mean, and they encamp around me. And all I have to do is say, go get them. Ain't nobody got time for them. That y'all got the same thing. But you got to tap into it. Everything that I have, you have. You're an inheritor of everything that Jesus has. But you got to go get it. And if you don't go get it, guess who's going to get it? Me. I don't got no problem taking somebody else. Well, you're stealing. No, you don't want it. I'm just saying. You want yours, go get yours. The strongest people make time to help others, even when they're struggling with their own personal problems. We're all struggling in an area. But as you help somebody else, God will send somebody to help you. Because you have, Daddy, you know my challenges, you know my issues, you know the things that I'm concerned with, but you have them in your hand. I don't got time to carry burdens. I don't got time to put this yoke on me. That's your responsibility. Teach me how to help somebody else. Teach me how to help them in their process. Give me revelation of where they're at so that I can help them. And guess what? Somebody will come and take care of mine. That's just how Daddy works. But you got to tap into it. You got to tap into God. We cannot live a life of just having head knowledge of God. We just can't. And I just encourage you to continuously seek the face of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11, it says this, I again saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, and the battle is not for the strong, and neither is bread to the wise, nor the riches to those of intelligence, and understanding, nor favor to the man of ability, but time and chance overtake them all. God will use you if you let him. If you surrender to God, well, you know what? I don't have a PhD degree. Well, I don't have my master's in theology. I don't have this. I don't have that. God has it all. All you have to do is tap into it. I'm not saying don't go to college. So if you thought that, you're wrong, not me. But what I'm saying is I didn't go to college, but I got a lot of theology. I spend time before the face of God. He's the one that gives this revelation. You can go to school and you can get all those degrees, but at the end of the day, if you don't know how to apply it into your life and you're not living that out, you just got a lot of head knowledge. I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to be 100. There's a young lady that I know that she went and she said, I do 9 devotionals a day. And I was like, okay, awesome. But your lifestyle doesn't show that. Because you can do 15 devotionals. But if you're on Facebook, uh-oh. I went to Facebook. Instead of my face being in the book. And it shows your 9 devotionals what you put on Facebook. It shows if you're living what you're really doing. Your actions will speak louder than your words. I can sit and carry the biggest King James Version Bible. But if it don't become my life, and it don't become revelation to me, guess what? I'm just carrying a heavy book. And I'm not going to do that. I'd rather be the Bible. I'd rather be everything that God has called me to be. And I encourage you today, if you don't get nothing else, Matthew 6:33, to put him first, to seek his ways. And he says, he promises that he's going to add everything. And you know what I do? I hold God accountable to his word. God put himself in this. I didn't put him in here. He put himself. He made the over 3,000 promises. And I hold him to it. Especially when it comes to that scripture. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, look, Dad, I sought you first thing this morning. I sought you throughout the day. You told me how to do things. And I did everything the way you told me to do it. I expect for you to add all into my life. And he has. I can give you testimony after testimony about the goodness of God. How when we opened up a church, my wife was like, "Are you crazy? What you talking about, Willis?" I mean, she was flipping out. We were at a church. We had everything. Oh, she had everything. I was just the one doing all the labor. Anything she wanted, I'd go to the pastor and he'd say, "Okay, go get it. What are you waiting for?" She had it all. Anything on the sound system, Matt, you would have loved it. Anything. He got it for her. And she was like, "Ray, I think you miss God." I'm like, "No, I know what God told me to do." And she said, "I'm not going." I'm like, "Let me tell you something, woman. Let me bring you divine revelation. When the Lord says go, deuces, baby, I'm rolling." And when I got in by myself, "Lord, please, I need my baby to go with me." I mean, I had to come legit to God. To her, I was like, "Yo, woman, you going with me. Yo, angels, deal with her." And sure enough, God released her. But yet she had all these questions. How we were going to do it. How we were going to open up a church. "Ray, we got our own bills. How are we going to pay the bills of the church?" And all I said, "Hey, listen here. Check this out. If God gave the vision, he'll give the provision. I don't trust Ray, but I trust the God that lives in Ray. I know what I heard." And she was like, "Okay." And God released her. So we rode. We left. Left on real good terms and everything. Well, we got to the building and she was like, "Why are we in this neighborhood? Why this building?" And I'm like, "Woman, why all the questions? Can you trust God? Please." And before you know it, people started showing up on the door, Pastor Tim, giving us checks. Pastors saying, "I don't know why, but here's a check, $500. A lady from Duncan came up to us, gave us a check, and you know, you do the holiness thing, and you just, "Oh, thank you, sister, praise the Lord." You put it in your pocket. Not me, I open it. I want to see how many zeros are on that check. And she gave us a $20,000 check. And I went to my wife, I said, "I told you. All you had to do is trust, baby." And she was like, "Ray, give that back. Devil is a liar." Ain't no. She was like, "Baby, she made a mistake. She put too many zeros." "No, she didn't, honey. She knows what zero is." But that's how God worked things out. And here's the deal. I hadn't even opened the church. I hadn't even found a building. I didn't know how I was going to do anything. Pastor Tim calls me. We hadn't talked in a while. And all of a sudden he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" "I'm driving." I mean, that's what I was doing, right? Most people say, "Oh, I was doing this." "No, I'm talking on the phone." So he goes, he says, "Well, what are you doing?" "And, well, what do you mean, what am I doing?" He goes, "No, what is God wanting you to do?" And I said, "Do you have time?" So we both pulled over. We're both crying. I tell him about the Impact Center. And then he goes, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "Well, the first thing I need, because my wife sings and my daughters, they sing, I need sound equipment right off the bat. Because they're not going to sing without it." He goes, "Oh, I got an awesome website." I'm like, "Cool. Everything's inexpensive. Cool." So after we finish crying and we're back to driving, and he's in Duncan, which is 45 minutes away from Lawton. He's crying in his truck. I'm crying in mine. We get done. We wipe out snots and everything. So I'm driving. All of a sudden, I get an email, and it's a confirmation. And I'm thinking, man, Pastor Jim messed up. He sent me a confirmation instead of, and I'm driving. I'm like, "Lord, I know he said it's inexpensive, but I have no money. And you know this, God, because you're not dumb. So, okay, I'm going to see what he sends me." So it's a confirmation. Next thing you know, I call him up. I said, "Hey, look, dude, you sent me the wrong email. You sent me one of a confirmation about sound equipment." He said, "I just bought everything." Somebody should have got excited, but that's all right. Maybe I'll say something else later. All the sound equipment that we needed showed up. Now it's, well, check this out. It's 3 o'clock Saturday. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I trust you. And I believe Pastor Jim. I've seen the confirmation. But it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't know if the package is still coming. Do I need to go get some sound equipment? Next thing you know, I'm in the garage because I didn't want Pastor Rochelle to be all concerned, you know, so I'm just taking my, I'm going to my secret place, my garage. I don't want her to hear me screaming to God. So all of a sudden, I hear this truck pull up. So I hit the button and I raise the garage door. There's the UPS guy with all the boxes for the sound equipment. I was like, I'm like, yo, baby, we got sound equipment. She was like, where'd you get it? Don't worry about it, honey. God provides. Glory to God. That's what I did for the first year. I didn't tell her, God provides, honey. Trust God. Trust God. Guys, when you have that type of relationship with God, he will provide for your every need. Because he cares about his daughters and he cares about his sons. As Pastor Rochelle and the team make their way up here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Guys, let me tell you, a relationship with God supersedes anything that you can wrap your head around. When you begin to trust God for the impossible, for the things that you would think there's no way this could happen, God says, I am the way. I am Yahweh. Trust in me. Believe in me. A relationship with God will transform your life. Get past the knowing God and get to that place of a relationship with God. If you listen to this song, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because here's the thing. Oh, y'all laughing like I did something wrong. Don't be getting me in trouble, guys. I got to ride home with her. Here's the thing. God will not hear your prayers if you don't humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways. That's what that scripture says. So if you want God to hear your prayers today, if you want to redeem what you thought was a relationship with God, and you want to sell out to God, as you stand to your feet and you listen to this song, just humbly repent and turn from your wicked ways and give God, truly make him the Lord of your life and not your get out of hell card. Make him the Lord over your life. Let him rule and reign every aspect, every area, even those secret areas that you have hidden in a closet that nobody knows. Guess what? God knows. And he says, what you do in darkness, he will bring to the light. God is telling you today, get out of the darkness and get into the light. Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.